T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
O'clock hour prize, $25 to the Ainsworth just for listening. We give stuff away at 7, 8, and 9 o'clock, and Ryan makes it simple to win.
I do like to keep it super simple on the people. I mean, we're just trying to reward you for listening, right? So it shouldn't be that hard.
No, not hard at all.
Next time you hear this.
Hello, not good.
The caller number?
I'm going to go with caller number 19.
Caller number 19, the 913-576-7610. The next time you hear that drop, and I will hook you up with $25 to go try the Ainsworth.
I know we're going to do your survivor pick here because it's, you know, you might as well until you get your second loss.
Right.
Who you taking?
Oh, we're just gonna drop it on me like that.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just say your team name so we can all move on.
In case you missed it, and you couldn't possibly have.
He hasn't been a braggadocio. I've been more bragging for him than he's bragged
Ryan
himself.
Ryan was our 610 survivor pool.
I mean, you don't brag about things that you just know were inevitable.
It's a fantastic photo of you, by the way, holding the trophy with the bleep-eating grin on your face.
Yeah, that's...
I wish we'd have known there was a trophy.
Yeah, I wasn't told.
I wish I would have known that there was going to be a photo shoot. I would have worn like a king crown in with like a nice robe.
I wish I would have seen this photo.
Ryan had a trophy. And a win in the survivor pool. So
you're
he's the only
right.
one without two strikes. Picked up his first strike last week. We decided, well, I guess you should just keep it going.
That's right.
You can finish out the season without getting two strikes.
Yeah, why not?
We'll let you continue to roll on. So who is this week's survivor pick?
This week in survivor, I will be taking, since I'm the only one left, I'm the only one you need to worry about, I will be taking the Minnesota Vikings. They're at home. They're versus the Broncos. And let's face it, every game for the Minnesota Vikings is a home game anyway.
That's right.
Minnesota Vikings gonna rout the Broncos this week.
The
boys.
Vikings, huh?
The Vikings.
That is Ryan's survivor pick. Good luck.
Thanks.
I hope you're still alive next week.
Yeah, good luck to
you. You think I could keep this going all like my only regret about the Survivor League that because look, I won. I'm very excited about that. I wish I could have just ran the whole table, not taking a strike.
See, if we didn't take a strike last week, Joe and I were going to run the whole table. We had
if ands and buts. Yeah.
We had the greatest plan set up, and of course the Saints, you know, failed us, so we had to move on. But we had the greatest plan set up. We were going to elaborate.
He
was going to pick winners the rest of the time.
Were you going to try to pick teams that are going to win?
No.
Was that the plan?
Here's what we were going to do. We were going to actually
oiled again.
We were actually going to win this thing in Week 14 and pick the Chiefs while everybody else picked the Patriots and watch the Chiefs beat the Patriots and claim the crown.
I see. I don't know. Ryan might have been on that one too because he's been playing defense for a while.
So, and then if we would have lost that game, we would have said at least we went down swinging with our team. You people picked against them.
Oh, wow. You already had a contingency plan for when you failed. I like that.
What do they say? Hope for the best, prepare for the worst? Yeah, you got to have.
Prepare for the worst.
Joe didn't make it as a star fantasy football league player by just waking up yesterday, okay?
Oh, wow.
So do you remember where you were going before we forgot?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I want to throw this out there because this riled me up a little bit yesterday.
Below not good.
And like I said, I was doing this interview. I think it was NBC Radio yesterday. I don't know again. I just do what they ask. And they asked, it was a national show, is Andy Reid's job on the line? Where is that coming
from?
Did
you drop a, are you serious, Clark?
I said you should be drug tested like Danon did. And I quoted Danon. And I said, if anybody's thinking that Andy Reid's job status is on the line.
Drug test those people.
That's what I said. I said, like my friend Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, said, you should be drug tested for that.
Who, and, by the way, did you see him shaking his tush on the catwalk?
On the catwalk last night. Very good.
Who the hell sang that song? Right Said Fred?
Yes, that's exactly who it was. Wow. Wow, good pull.
Good Lord. How
great
that
pull
is,
for
that
you.
That is correct.
As Tammy from the Westin and Susie from Sales were there throwing dollar bills, y'all, at Danon last night. I don't know.
Really?
Like that part of the video? Oh.
He took out his phone and took a selfie while on the catwalk.
Yeah.
That's
He took my place. I said I couldn't do that last night, so Danon filled in for me admirably.
Wow. What an upgrade.
Yeah, that was very good.
It wasn't a lateral move at all.
No, and DJ Jason, our guy, was there DJing last night. So it was a big, it was a variable who's who of local Kansas City minor celebrities with Tammy from the Weston and Susie from Sales down there. So very, very big night with Danan on the catwalk. But so Danan, you know, said about the drugs. And I'm thinking to myself, why are people asking me this on a national level? Are we to that point of the year or to his, you know, coaching career in Kansas City where people are thinking Andy Reid is on the hot seat with the shallow pool of coaches that is out there right now? And even if it was a, even if it was a large pool of coaches that were available right now, what on earth would give people the impression that Andy Reid's job status would be on the line?
One of the most respected mind, offensive minds in the game. Might as well take him away from the most dynamic quarterback in the game.
Like, what are people smoking?
I mean, I think reactionary people do say, fire Andy, he's never going to get you over the top. But then you step back and, you know, on Tuesday and Wednesday, and you go, all right, that doesn't make any sense. I think maybe there are people that,
this
that,
was
don't,
yesterday.
That don't step back from it. But no, it's not. Hey, if they don't win at some point, they don't break through at some point, the seat will be hot.
Well,
for
where
Andy.
Is that point?
I don't
though.
Know. We're not any. It's not even in the fuzzy horizon.
No, because again, you got to backfill at that point in time. And who are you backfilling with? If you make a move, you have to have a corresponding move that is going to be better. Like when they fired Pioli and Romeo, they brought in Andy Reid. You got rid of the bad, you brought in the good. That's what happens. You got to have somebody ready to go that's going to take you to a different level. Andy Reid is one of the top, what, four or five winningest coaches in NFL history. Now, the playoff stuff, yeah, I get that. I understand that he hasn't won the big one yet, and that is a big black mark on his resume right now. There's no doubt about it. But to sit here and say after a Week 10 loss to the Tennessee Titans, is Andy Reid's job on the line or is Andy Reid on the hot seat? I was just like, what? Why are we even discussing whether or not Andy Reid's job is on the line? Or if Andy Reid is on the hot seat. Because in my opinion, I don't think Andy Reid is anywhere near close to being on the hot seat or should be anywhere close to being on the hot seat for what he's done here in Kansas City. This has been, people forget where this franchise was before Andy Reid came in here. He turned around the worst franchise in the NFL and made them winners overnight with Alex Smith. And so for folks to sit there on a national level and say, well, is Andy Reid's job status on? What? My God, just it drives me nuts that people would think that.
I mean, it could be at some point in time, but I can't even two to three years. They don't break through. We're all going to be saying he's never going to get this done, and you're not going to get there. But it's not even close to anything imminent.
Should Andy Reid be looking over his shoulder at the who, what, where, when, why, how?
That sounds like reactionary fan.
I can see it on a Sunday. People mad on a Sunday, right? Like this was on a Wednesday.
Cooler heads usually prevail by that, but yeah, sometimes not. That's all right. Tyler and Lenexa, your winner this hour, $25 to the Ainsworth.
Way to go, T-Dog.
Just for listening. That was our 9 o'clock hour prize.
T-Bone.
From Dynasty to Dungeon. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Back at it here on a beautiful, gorgeous, cold Thursday morning. Got beers
still
with the boys
haven't
coming
Still figured
up.
Out what that thing is on the side of the road.
It's a sign that is turned upside down, right? And I think it's like that's what it looks like anyway. A sign that
it
is
It looks
upside
like one of
down.
Those, you know, those foam boards you used to like use for like the science fair projects or
yeah.
your invention convention
right,
project.
Right, right.
That could be a child's invention convention sign and, nobody's picking it
Has
up.
Has anybody invented and done anything better than the volcano with the baking soda and vinegar? Like, that's the best thing at those science fairs, right?
I invented a extendable screwdriver when I was probably 6 years old.
Oh, yeah?
It was essentially a screwdriver that I duct taped to a stick.
Oh, that was good.
I thought it was a winner.
But you know what would have been a cool invention? Inventing the mold for the cup to be tapered so it could fit into your car.
Some people have the claim to fame. That's just what it is. You don't need to hate.
Nah, I'm not hating at all. I'm just...
What did you do for your invention convention projects? Did you guys do that?
Mine was a volcano with the baking soda and vinegar.
You didn't invent the volcano.
Well, that's as close as I got to doing anything.
Something with electricity and got electrocuted.
Oh, hey.
But I don't remember what it was.
Nice of Kling to join us.
It was electrocution was involved, and I've given up ever working on electricity ever again.
Yeah, you don't touch the electricity. Yeah. They got paid professionals for that.
Two wires, and there was a lot of shaking going on.
Paul Long's brother, Chris, is a very good electrician. Chris Long, he'll come out and wire your house. He's done that for us.
That's good.
Former Eagles player, Chris Long?
That's right. Mm-hmm. You gotta have a,
is that what he's doing now in his downtime?
Yeah, he's a former Osawatomie Eagle.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
He once called them on the verge of dynasty. Now, apparently not so much. They're out. Fesco, they're out.
Gone.
Colin Cowherd, Fox Sports, our sister station, 1660 The Score. Chiefs aren't winning this thing ever.
The eight biggest games in Patrick Mahomes' career. AFC Championship lost. AFC Division Round won. Monday Night Football against the Rams game moved from Mexico lost. Against New England, Sunday Night Football lost. In Seattle, Sunday Night Football lost. That Thursday night game against the Chargers with playoff implications lost. This year, Mahomes against Deshaun Watson, that was the game we were like, oh, that's the game of the weekend, lost. And Sunday Night Football against the Colts, when we were shocked, Jacoby Brissett went in there, ball control lost. 1-7 in your eight biggest games. Yes, you blow out bad teams. Yes, you're unbeaten in September. Yes, you can throw the ball and not look. I get it. I need you to win more games against TV games. You know, we always roll our eyes at Kirk Cousins. And we all know Mahomes is better than Kirk Cousins, but you got to start winning those Sunday games and the Thursday games and the standalone games and the pressure games. You got to start winning those games. Kansas City doesn't win those enough, and so they're out of my Super Bowl bubble.
Pat's not a winner.
Is that a bong? What was that there at the end?
That was the bubble noise. Of these. I decided to keep it in there.
Gotcha.
We did an editorial decision.
That was good. So Pat can't win the big game.
And you said it earlier, which is maybe a better spin on this. What Colin should have said, he wants to see Pat win the big game
right.
And lead his team down and win the big game. Not lose or, you know.
He says Patrick loses those games, which I think is very much up for debate. I mean, defense more often than not has been the issue, right? They've scored enough offense and plenty of these games to win games, and I feel like we've made excuses when they don't win. Like, well, the offense could have done this, 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 and this. Well, okay, fine. Everybody contributes to a team game. I get it, but it's you can't throw all of those games on Patrick Mahomes.
No.
More often than not, he played really well in those games.
Yep.
But I think Colin Cowherd wants to see him physically, like the quarterback, win those games, the fourth quarter drives, win those games as the quarterback rather than lose those games.
Yeah, and I think that's fair to say. But, you know, as we talked about earlier with Patrick Mahomes and the way that he's played in year 1.5, and I'll continue to stress it's year 1.5 for Patrick Mahomes, you know, who would you say is the greatest comeback quarterback of all time? Joe Montana? John Elway.
I mean, Elway had all those fourth quarter drive stats for a long time.
When did those start? Was he doing that in year 1.5? In 1984, was John Elway leading the Denver Broncos back from defeat? I mean, was John Elway taking care of business in 1985? I mean, when was John Elway really, really, really considered that quarterback that could lead you from behind? And I think it really came much later on in his career. It came later on when he finally was established in the NFL and had enough playing time under his belt where he could go out there and be that quarterback who leads you from behind. And I think ultimately for me, I think Patrick Mahomes is very guilty isn't the right word. He's a product of Tom Brady ruining it for everybody and winning that Super Bowl in his first full year as a starter and never letting up. Now everything gets compared to that and what Tom Brady did right away, and that's just not realistic. I mean, you go back and look at, you know, those Denver Bronco teams early on in the career of John Elway, his first year, the Denver Broncos, 1983, they ultimately were 4-7 in the games that he started. I mean, that's not exactly winning a ton of football games, okay? So it wasn't like he started out just kicking everybody's tail and taking everybody's name. It took a while, Patrick Mahomes is ahead of the curve of everybody in the NFL, except for Tom Brady. Peyton Manning was, what, 1-15, if I'm not mistaken, his first year as the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. And people were wondering, did they make the right decision over Ryan Leaf? And so, to me, I just think we want to speed up the clock on Patrick Mahomes and declare him 1-7 in these big games, which he is. I mean, there's no debating the record. But what there is to debate is Patrick the reason for this team being 1-7? But in the NFL, the quarterback gets the credit and blame for everything.
Yeah, the quarterback gets the record. You never hear a running back record, a wide receiver record, anybody other than the quarterback or a special teams record. It's about the quarterback. So right. I get it. It's on a different level. It's on a different pedestal. But I look at those individual games and I'm like, I don't think most of those are on the quarterback.
No.
I don't think there's much on the last year and a half for me that I say, quarterback didn't come through. Even in the New England game where they didn't score in that first quarter, I'm not going to go, well, that's a failure by the court. There were plenty of chances throughout that game, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, he's and maybe it's just that his clock sped up and that's the reality of it, mm-hmm. that he's going to have to overcome those things. But also, that's a lot of games, too. Like, they're playing a lot of primetime games. They're playing a lot of important games that aren't primetime. So basically, he's just got to win them all.
Right.
To satisfy, I guess, Colin Cowherd.
I guess. Let's go to John Elway's second full season in the NFL, 1984. The Denver Broncos were 13-3 that year, right? And everybody goes, oh, Elway was great that year. The defense for the Denver Broncos in the regular season, Josh, gave up over 20 points three times.
So they were pretty much an under 20 defense the rest of the year.
Yeah, they're under 20 points per game. They were the second best defense in points in the NFL that year. That's why they were 13-3. Not because John Elway was leading glorious comebacks or anything like that. They were that good because they had a defense that could live up to its end of the bargain and get a stop to allow John Elway and that offense maybe to make plays later on in that season. I think right now there's a lot of pressure on Patrick Mahomes from a national standpoint because this defense obviously isn't living up to its end of the bargain. You find any quarterback and replace him on this roster right now, either living or dead, retired or active, and you tell me if they would have led the Chiefs to a better than 1-7 record in those 8 games that Colin Cowherd pointed out. And I would probably say the answer is no.
And if he goes on to say, I need him to win those games to overcome the bad defense, then I'm like, okay. If you have to have that, you can acknowledge the limitations that are elsewhere in order for the quarterback to win.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to look at the AFC Championship game, I'll blame Patrick in the AFC Championship game. I absolutely will. He took a bad sack that knocked him out of field goal range.
The bad sack, but also, you know, hey, you're going to have halves so you don't score
right
in the against the best team.
Right, correct.
In the AFC. So I don't think it's like that to me is not a massive indictment.
But all of those games.
What were you doing with the rest of your time? No, that was a good team you played.
Yeah,
so.
But all of those games that he mentioned, that's the only one where I would even consider starting with, well, Patrick could have done better here. These other games, I mean, you put up 51 against the Rams and lost.
So Monday's a primetime game, right?
Yeah.
So if they go out and light up the Chargers, you're not getting credit.
I mean, oh, he won't get credit for that because it was against the Chargers.
The bad Chargers
bad,
team.
Bad Chargers team. Yeah, well, he won against the bad Chargers team. So you can pick and choose games.
He's placed in kind of a no-win category.
And it's unfair. It's ridiculous. I don't think anybody in sports right now is held to a higher standard maybe than Patrick Mahomes is.
Well, quarterbacks. I mean, quarterbacks are held to a higher standard
but
around the league.
We're not seeing Lamar Jackson. We're not seeing Deshaun Watson. We're not seeing Russell Wilson. We're not seeing those guys criticized right now.
But if they lose, they would be.
I don't know.
Baker Mayfield. It's all Baker Mayfield's fault in Cleveland,
right?
Well,
because he's a jackass. I mean, he brought that upon himself.
But I'm saying it's all the quarterback's fault there. No, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's wrong there. But you focus on the quarterback. That's natural. So I understand that part of it. If Seattle's not winning, he had a defense.
Right.
He had defense all his years. It's Russell Wilson won that good a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He had a defense. Well, now the quarterback's winning, so there's not that.
Yeah,
there's not that debate. So you can end it as well by winning those games and overcoming your defense. That's for some. That's going to be the only way to do it. Colin sounds like that's the one you have to over. you have to do it for. You have to overcome all those obstacles and yet still find a way to win.
I don't know that a quarterback has overcome a defense this bad in NFL history, though, Josh.
To get yourself in that category. So it's not the same, apparently. Next.
He's our starting quarterback.
Fesco in the morning.
So earlier in the show today at 6:15, we caught up with the opposition. We always do our kind of opponents interview on Thursdays at 6:15. Shannon Farron is the sideline reporter for the Chargers. You can check out the full interview, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. This game's not being played in L.A., of course.
Nope.
The game against the Chargers is being played in Mexico City. But
is this in the news?
We're asking about football in L.A., and we've had a strange, maybe not so strange, obsession with it and its success or lack thereof in L.A., and she had an interesting perspective on the stadium. I think you and I had the same thought when they initially announced they're going to play in a small soccer stadium.
I thought this was going to be a test run for the NFL.
This is cool. Small, intimate setting.
Charge high dollar for tickets and always have full stadiums.
Full stadium, make it a demand. Most places don't need 80,000 seats.
No. No place needs 80,000 seats.
It makes it difficult at times, but if you made it a smaller, intimate setting, you'd get people there all the time and it'd be a fun atmosphere.
Right.
It has not turned out to be the case.
It's been a great place for visiting fans.
Visiting
to
fans
go.
Have, I guess, paid those premium prices to go to this particular game.
I don't even know if there's a premium price being paid for those tickets anymore. But I thought a smaller stadium, with the way that people are consuming sports now, it's not at the venue. It's more so at home on your phone, someplace else. You're multitasking. Getting people to go to a game en masse like we used to be able to do just isn't the case for any sport. Allen Fieldhouse, Cameron Indoor Stadium, both with mass empty seats in their arenas. You've got a lot of empty seats still at Arrowhead. I mean, baseball stadiums are empty all over the place. Why not go smaller? Create a great environment where you're right on top of the field and you make it a place that people want to be. But apparently, it's not going to be the wave of the future.
Shannon Farron, sideline reporter for the Chargers, says a small stadium does have a flip side.
To be honest with you, and I don't know if I should say this, and I don't know if it's a good move for me to say this publicly, it doesn't feel like football to me. I go to Kansas City, I go to Denver, I go to Pittsburgh. That's what football feels like. When you've got 60,000 people on their feet screaming, that is the NFL. I love the accessibility of this stadium. It's tiny. You're right up into the action, but it doesn't feel like the NFL. You know what I mean?
We do.
Yeah.
Apparently. It doesn't have that NFL feel.
Right.
That's like the bottom line. And it hasn't been a friendly home atmosphere either, but it also just NFL's big. I mean,
yeah.
You'd like to shrink it down a little bit, but the NFL's grandiose.
Right.
And they will soon be moving into that monstrosity of a stadium. But I was wrong. I thought this might be a model for something, and maybe it's just that the test balloon just wasn't right.
Right. But maybe it was the wrong team, wrong location type of deal. And maybe it works in a market, maybe like a Pittsburgh or Kansas City, where you do go with a very small stadium to see what kind of atmosphere you can get. And I bet you if you had a 30,000 seat stadium here in KC, it would be an amazing environment that people would look at and want to be part of. But clearly it's not trending that way in the NFL. I think when the Chiefs ultimately build their new stadium on the footprint of where Kauffman is, once that moves downtown, we'll probably see a reduced capacity in the new stadium, and they should. They should go to about 65,000 and no more. The L.A. stadium that's being built right now is smaller than Arrowhead Stadium, and the new Las Vegas stadium is smaller than Arrowhead Stadium right now. So I think once the Chiefs build their new deal, it's going to be smaller than what we're seeing right now being built around the NFL.
We're cracking cans. That can only mean one thing. It is a time
we're
for another
stealing
edition of
signs?
Beers with the Boys, powered by Standard Beverage. And Modelo in with us today. They brought in a selection of their chiladas.
Ooh.
I'll tell you what, is this not a hearty can?
That is a can
of
beer.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. A 24-ounce can.
I call that a tall boy.
Oh. Yeah. But this feels like it's like a brick.
That's a tall fat boy.
Jeez.
Usually the tall boy is 16
ounces. 16
ounces.
That's like a double tall boy.
That's a tall husky man.
Yeah.
So shopping in the husky department.
Three different varieties.
Can't use husky anymore for kids.
I'll have you translate because you
just saw husky the other day at the JCPenney store.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? I didn't know they still
shopping for coats.
Okay.
It's all the husky boys.
For you?
Not for myself, for my son.
Your son's already a husky?
No, he's not a husky. I just saw husky while he was in there. He's actually very thin.
I didn't think we could do that anymore.
Father.
Yeah, I thought the Husky thing was gone.
What do you think they call it now? What's the preferred nomenclature?
I don't know.
For fat kids?
I figured Husky would be offensive.
I just figured they just put the size on there now.
You remember back when you just had to deal with it?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I would imagine Husky's offensive. You can't call people Husky.
Sure, I had to buy Husky jeans all of my entire life.
So did I.
I'm still out here buying Husky jeans.
Yeah, but I thought they changed.
Big ups to Old Navy.
I prefer them that way, actually.
Yeah, I thought they changed the name. Like, oh, you can't say Husky anymore.
I wouldn't think you could call it a Husky department.
Still call it Husky.
Once Sears stopped selling the pants, I figured that was a Sears thing.
Well, they can't call it Big and Tall Kids.
No, but you can just call it clothes.
Yeah, casual XL. Casual male.
Casual male XL.
Yes. Yeah.
The casual.
Come on in here, fatty.
Yeah, casual.
You too, tall guy.
Yeah.
Modelo is here with us today. Modelo with the chilada, limon y sal.
Yeah, the lime and salt. Baby.
Lime and salt.
Like
okay.
A margarita
I
in a
taste,
can.
I can taste the lime and the salt.
You should put some more stank on that.
Yeah, how is that?
Limon y sal.
Limon y sal.
That's why I was having Bob translate.
Limon y sal.
Does it make you want some enchiladas?
It's lime and Salvador Perez.
Lime and the coconut?
Mm-hmm.
Tamarindo?
Yeah,
right?
that's tamarindo picante? That's what I'm having right now.
Tamarindo picante?
Got a nice spice to it. I feel like it'd go well with some carne asada.
Is that a nice, like, fall beer where you got a little autumn spice in it?
This feels like Bloody Mary material.
Oh, yeah. It's got a nice sweetness to it.
So you'd use it as a mixer and pour some vodka over the top, call it a day.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bacon salt.
Maybe in a 24-ounce can.
I am not a huge fan of like red beer, tomato juice, all of those
things. That's a Nebraska thing.
This tamarind one is really good.
Yeah, it's got a little heat to it.
Mr. Tamarind.
But yeah, I feel like that's what I'm making Bloody Marys with. That's my Bloody Mary.
Oh, I can smell that. Yeah,
I'm drinking it out of a coffee cup right now.
I was like, what are you doing back there?
I have my giant coffee mug, and I'm drinking beer out of it.
Okay.
It's got a little heat to it.
Because I'm classy.
It's picante. That means spice.
I'm just saying, it's got a little.
Yeah,
it's got a little.
I told you. It'd go well with some carne.
Ooh. And the especial as well.
Chimichanga.
My favorite part of Modelo, they didn't bring those today, are the, because they use the gold leafing.
Mm-hmm.
Foil, whatever that's called, over the top of the bottle.
I think you nailed it. Gold leafing. Yeah.
That they have on their bottles.
That checks out.
It's fantastic. It's fancy.
Mm-hmm.
It's fancy beer.
That's what you like about it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought there was more to the story.
No.
I was like, I'm waiting on the edge of my seat for you to tell me why you like that gold leafing.
I'm saying they take the time to gold leaf the bottles.
A lot of time.
Modelo, it's fantastic.
They pay attention to the details over there,
Modelo. These are the chiladas that we're checking out. We're going to need a few of these as well to choke down this next comment from Mike Silver of NFL Network.
And if you're going to Mexico City this week, pick up some chiladas while you're watching the game.
Perfect in time. You feel like you're there. Mike Silver, NFL Network, because, you know, the flavor of the week in the NFL isn't the Chiefs.
No.
It's the Raiders.
Great news for the Raiders. They play the Bengals this week and then the Jets. Then they have the rematch with the Chiefs. Chiefs, I think, are susceptible to the power running attack, so look for young Mr. Jacobs to get a lot of work in that game in Kansas City. And then the schedule isn't that tough afterwards. We've got Titans and Jags at home and at Chargers and Broncos. Mm. Not an unwinnable game there. Doesn't mean they'll win them all, but they're very much in the wild card picture, and they have a shot to win this division, guys.
Yeah, he said that with a question mark. So that's fine. They have a shot to win this division.
No, they don't. There's absolutely no shot for the Raiders to win this division. And I'll say it right now. All these loudmouths nationally that are loving up the Raiders and Josh Jacobs and his power running game, screw all that, man. I'll call it now. Chiefs win by double digits over the Raiders, and Josh Jacobs is held to his worst performance of the season. I'm just gonna draw the line in the sand right now, because this is where people start losing their minds and their senses. They take everything that they've watched over the course of a season and watched for a long period of time, and they throw it out. They just get rid of it. Like, none of the past makes sense. None of your trends make sense. None of what you've accomplished all year makes any sense. What matters in the NFL for a lot of these analysts, and the majority of these analysts, is what is the flavor of the week. As you're seeing with Colin Cowherd, it doesn't matter what you said last week. That's gone, man. You just create new takes and new hot takes and new information this week, and it doesn't matter what you've said in the past. These folks that are out here celebrating the Oakland Raiders because they are close to being 7-4 with the Jets and the Bengals coming up on their schedule, they're wrong. The Raiders are not going to beat the Jets. They're not going to come in here tied with the Kansas City Chiefs. And even if they do come in here tied with the Kansas City Chiefs, They're going back to Oakland with cleat marks on their back. The Chiefs are taking care of business. Don't go away from an old standby because you have a new flame of the day. And the new flame of the day this week just happens to be the Oakland Raiders. I'm sorry, Raider fans. You're not getting a win here in Kansas City. The Chiefs are going to win this division. The Raiders are going to go back to Oakland with a loss, and everybody's going to go, see, I knew the Chiefs were good all along.
You've been awfully bullish on the Jets after they
big win
curb stomped the Giants.
Not only did they beat the Giants, they claim they're still alive for the playoffs at 2-7.
Holding on to playoff aspirations. They got a carrot dangling out there.
I don't know what is wrong with you, or you think like the Jets are just.
What's wrong with me is that the West Coast teams
suddenly good.
West Coast teams going east never have success. It's such an one-sided deal. When these teams from the West have to fly and go east for these football
Saturday
games. So they do, but it still, it affects their body clocks. West Coast teams going east never have success. And so it's not necessarily the Jets. It's the fact that I'm not a believer in the Raiders. I don't trust the Oakland Raiders, and they're going across the country to play a football game against a bad team that they think they're just going to throw out their helmets there and win that game. And that's just not the way it works. In the NFL, you can't just throw your helmet out there and expect to win a football game. And so that's what I believe that the Jets or that's what I believe the Raiders are going to do with the Jets coming up in a week or so when they have to go east and play them at the Meadowlands. That's the way that I feel about
that. As confident as you are about that, I am as confident that they're going to get mudholed. Like literally the Raiders are going to go out there.
It's a 1 o'clock start too. So that's a 10 o'clock body clock.
Just molly. Now, Bob, the Jets are the second worst run defense in the league.
Behind the Chiefs?
Not behind Tampa Bay, actually. They're terrible. They're terrible, Bob.
You keep thinking that they're terrible, and I'm going to tell you, the Raiders aren't as good as everybody thinks they
Tampa
are.
Tampa Bay gave me a strike in the Survivor Pools.
That's tough.
Beers of the Boys, powered by Standard Beverage. Modelo in with us today. Get the chiladas for the game on Monday night.
Chilada.
The limon y sal. Is that better?
Limon y sal.
You're really putting some stank on these. I like it.
Tamarindo picante.
I can't do that one.
Tamarindo picante.
Picante.
And the especial.
Especial.
Modelo, Beers of the Boys, powered by Standard Beverage. Pay him. And pay him first. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Well, we're certainly excited about the opportunity to extend Patrick's stay with the Chiefs and hope that lasts his entire career. It's probably a little bit premature to be talking about a new contract. Everyone knows the first opportunity we'll have to re-sign will come at the end of this season. But that's a decision that we'll have to make with his representatives, whether this is the right time or perhaps a year from now.
That's Clark Hunt, Chiefs Chairman and CEO, on extending Patrick Mahomes and the timing of it. And basically, we look forward to the opportunity, look forward to the challenges of re-signing Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. They look forward to the challenge. We talked about it with Therese earlier, and I think because time being of the essence right now, from an organizational standpoint, you'd like to get both of those guys done, but you don't have to get Patrick Mahomes done. If I'm Patrick Mahomes and I'm his camp right now, I may pause this thing a little bit and wait it out and see where the new collective bargaining agreement is going, where the new salaries are going for these quarterbacks, because you're going to want to be the highest paid one. You don't want to sign on a Tuesday. Dak signs on a Wednesday. You're out of conversation of being the highest paid guy in the NFL. I think for the Kansas City Chiefs, time is of the essence for Chris Jones. I would focus on getting him done first, because if you take Chris Jones off this defense, now all of a sudden you got some real issues. And so I think Chris Jones is vitally important to this defense, just as obviously Patrick is vitally important, but you've got another kind of year to play with. And if I'm Patrick's agent right now, I understand you want to cash in and get that money, but there really is no rush right now to cash in and get that money. And for an organizational standpoint, as we talked about with Therese a little bit, there's more of a rush for the organization to get Patrick done than there is for Patrick to get a deal done, because he doesn't want to be the first of Lamar, Deshaun, Dak, all of those guys to sign these new contracts. He doesn't want to set the groundwork. He wants to be past the groundwork that gets set by those guys. So we'll see where ultimately it ends up.
Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider, dropped by at 8:30 for his weekly visit. And he actually thinks that the Chiefs should pay Mahomes before Chris Jones. Why?
The longer you wait on quarterbacks, the more you end up paying. That's just all there is. Like, and if you're the Chiefs, you already know it'd be $200 million. But do you really want to wait to see what another 12 months of quarterback contracts could bring? What's Dak Prescott going to sign for? Who knows? It'll be more than Carson Wentz. Whatever it is, we know Mahomes is going to get like more, like a percentage more than the next guy. Mm-hmm. He'll be the highest paid, like maybe even player ever. But the problem is, like, that number is going to rise if he has to wait like another year. So, you know, to me, you already know you're going to do this. You don't want to get into a situation where, like, you put it off and then, like, you give opportunity for – and I'm not saying this would happen, but there is a scenario where you put it off too long and, like, he gets mad at the team about something. And then, like, oh, okay, well, all right, here we go. I got a little leverage now. You can just franchise tag me 2 times, and then what? What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. So when you have a jewel like this, you have a talent like this. I think it's always, especially at this position, it's the number one priority to me, and I would do it as soon as possible. And I think not doing it as soon as possible would be a tactical mistake.
Which I understand from a team perspective. I can't grasp exactly why you take it from Patrick's perspective.
Oh, I think Patrick's perspective is a 180 from the team.
Except if you want to make money now, if you want to have it right now, because I think the Chiefs could get it done if they just went and just went over the top with it.
Sure.
And got that part over with. Like, all right, we know the highest paid quarterback is this right now.
Here's
we
$50 million a year for 4 years.
Here's what Pat's going to be. We just go, just blow by it. And I think then it gets done, right?
Yeah, I think if you offer him $50 million a year for 4 years, he signs that contract.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you like that contract as a fan?
No.
Why?
As a fan, no.
Why?
Because of the salary cap.
I mean,
no, I don't like it as a fan. I don't think the Chiefs need to be in that position either to do that. You only have to top the last guy. You don't have to blow past the starting gates. But I'm telling you, that's how you would get it done if you want to get it done right now. But for Mahomes' perspective, I mean, you got a bunch of endorsement money, right? You got a rookie contract. You're probably doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
You can really afford to wait. So I don't see that from the quarterback's perspective, why there'd be incentive to get it done now.
If I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm not signing anything right now, right? I mean, what is your point? What is your goal? What is your gain by signing a contract right now if you're Patrick Mahomes? I just don't think there is an incentive right now to get that deal done with everything that's coming up and everything that's going to be taking place. I guess Matthew Stafford right now is the highest guy at $29.5 million. Is that what we're looking at right now per year? Kirk Cousins at 29, Aaron Rodgers at 26.5, Russell Wilson at 26.2. So if you were to, you're talking $30 million just to pass Matthew Stafford a year. So would you be okay with $30 million a year for 4 years at $120 million? Is that good enough for you? Is that good enough for Patrick Mahomes? I don't know that is. I think 50 for 4 years is good enough.
Yeah, that's
because
sticker,
you're saying
that's like the eyes popping out of your head and signing it. You're rushing to sign something like that. But from his perspective, I mean,
because
if you even think it's 40, you still wait, right? I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. I think the next guy that signs is going to get 30. Then the guy who signs after that will probably get 31. You know, then you're going to look at 32. Then so you're pushing that 40 number. If you want to
right,
make
so if the Chiefs went and just went 40, 40 right
if they
now,
went 40 right
there
now,
might be some incentive 40 to do
for
it.
Four for him, at 160.
For him.
Yeah, and guarantee all 4 years. Guarantee the whole contract.
Yeah.
That would be the incentive for him.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see
I'm going to
say,
but that's an eye-popping, that's a massively eye-popping deal.
It's a huge deal.
And that's the way you would get it done if you wanted to get it done right now and mm-hmm. absolutely do it. And that's, you'd have to knock his socks off to me for him to go ahead and do it.
Or do you go, see, I think with the impending CBA, if I'm him, I'm still waiting things out a little bit just to see, because that's an unknown. We're not at the beginning of the collective bargaining agreement where you know where it's going to be. We're at the end of it. And
oh, really? I thought they wanted to get something done before the start of the season.
Well, we're in week 11.
Oh.
He does. Let's just say for argument's sake, he does sign a deal, right? And then the new collective bargaining agreement comes out, and it has your idea in it where the quarterback is exempt. Both the team and the player are going to be pretty pissed at that point in time where they could have done something better for each other, you know? So I just don't understand from a player's perspective
what your
rush is.
You can always restructure.
Yeah, you can. You're right. You're right. You can.
Yeah. My plan has always been forget the quarterbacks, get them out of the cap. Let each team pay the quarterback whatever they want. And then the salary cap really applies to everybody else.
Like
you have to divvy up the money, whatever amount of money for the rest of your roster. But if you want to overpay your quarterback, you go for it. That's your problem, but it doesn't affect the rest of the team. You can pay your quarterback whatever they would command and not have to worry about it impacting the rest of your roster. It's just whatever you decide you can afford at quarterback.
Right. I think ultimately, though, if you are the team, you wanted to sign him after last season. Like, you were falling all over yourself with the ability to sign him after last season. If I'm the player,
you want a Salvi first contract.
Correct, absolutely. But if I'm the player, I'm like, man, we'll talk about it later. I got another year here. I'm good to go. Get Chris Jones taken care of. Come back and see me. You know, maybe after some of these other guys sign as well. That's where I would be as the player. It's totally different perspectives when you talk about a team's perspective versus a player's perspective on something like this. And especially a guy like Patrick Mahomes. This isn't a one-time flash in the pan type of player. There's not many players that could put it off and wait, cash in later on. Patrick Mahomes is one of the few guys in the NFL and really one of the few guys in sports that can push it off and still cash in.
Big finish. And kind of breaking news. Yeah, brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Here we go. MLB is looking beyond the 2017 Astros, according to ESPN.
Oh, there's other teams that have cheated too.
Expects to interview those from the 2019 team as well. The scene.
Oh boy.
Sign stealing investigation. Sources telling ESPN. It also includes multiple personnel from the Boston Red Sox staff.
Whoa. Oh, that's because Alex Cora was with that team in 2017, yes. And now he's the manager of the Red Sox.
Well, I mean, if he didn't get caught in 2017, why stop?
I'll tell you what, man. The Red Sox and the Astros should be contracted.
Okay.
He's going to launch him to the sun. You didn't see that one coming, Ryan? Come on.
Yeah, I did, actually.
I mean, we banished the steroid people out of the game. We kicked Pete Rose out for life.
I mean, we didn't kick him out of the game, but you certainly kept him out of the Hall of Fame. You banned Pete Rose for life. That's for sure.
This is worse than that. This is a whole team, now multiple teams. The Mets, gone with Beltran running that show now. Can't trust anybody that was part of the Astros organization. You just can't. And I'm not saying that as a joke. Anybody associated with the Astros is untrustworthy.
This from Jesse Newell, the Star. I haven't found the connecting story yet, but I'll look for it. The Athletic now reporting Beltran helped set up the sign-stealing system with the Astros.
And now he's the manager of the Mets. That's what I'm saying. Contract the Mets, too. They're useless.
Wasn't he the one that said that they stole signs, but they did it legally?
Correct. Yeah, they were legally cheating.
We did it the good old-fashioned way.
But he's like, hey, I think you should do two taps on a garbage can for a fastball. And someone whistle loudly on a breaking pitch.
How much better would baseball be without the Astros, the Red Sox, and the Mets?
Here we go. This thing's going to get nice and juicy before it's all said and done. There wasn't a lot of outrage early on, which kind of surprised me because I'm like, it is a big deal, but it's like, how are you going to?
But we're getting to the more of the story.
How are you
going
to really get to the bottom of it and all these things? But now, like, I'll watch all these conspiracy videos now.
They're great.
There's one involving the Royals where it's like, pitch comes, it's a whistle, there's a pitch, fastball.
Yeah.
Like the Astros are playing the Royals. And
if you look at the 2017
every time there's a fastball, there's a whistle.
If you look at the 2017 World Series splits home and road, the Houston Astros,
crazy,
holy crap, better at home
hot
than they were
garbage
on the
road.
I mean, like they were hitting every guy was hitting like 300 at home, and on the road they were hitting like 047.
Except for Gurriel.
He was the only one above board.
Yeah,
right.
Altuve, though, massive difference.
Massive difference.
All kinds of stuff going on.
His numbers at the home and road were like him and Judge standing next to each other.
He wasn't even hitting his weight, and that's saying something.
Getting fishy down in Houston.
Time to contract him. I would kick the owner out. I would kick the GM. I would ban all those people for life.
Get rid of them all.
Get rid of the Red Sox.
That's coming up on Show and Vern, Ron is changing his expectations for the defense. Wait a minute. Next.
Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.